Hello and welcome to the Clutch Tennis Podcast. We are joined this week by Luke. So hello Luke, how are you doing?
Hello Charlie, I am well thanks, how are you?
I am good. This is a very spontaneous podcast because I had originally called it off this week because I was super busy. So my preparation for this is somewhat lacking, but we have the ever knowledgeable Luke with us who will be hopefully carrying us through this. I'm just looking through the events this week for the first time now, and I can see that we have an ATP event in Doha, normally very competitive, that event actually, which is currently, I think, entering into round two. That's going to be on outdoor hard. We have an ATP event on indoor hard in Marseille in France, also heading into round two. And we have the horrible Golden Swing over in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on the clay. Now, that currently actually in play, so midway through round one slash round two. I believe the match that's in play currently is Dominic Thiem against Thiago Monteiro, which is actually a very juicy encounter. Looks like it's about to go to three sets. Now, the last podcast we did was last week, I believe. Well, it was the Rotterdam event mainly, the 500 Golden Swing event over on the clay in Buenos Aires, I believe. Do we have a recap for that, Luke?
We do, yes. I'll get into it. So I'll start with the tips of passes. I had a terrible week all round, probably one of my worst weeks ever, which is saying something. My tips pass didn't even win a set, didn't come close. That was Rublev minus 3.5 games against Dimonor. So that puts me at zero for the year, two wins, two losses. Charlie continued his excellent run of losing tips of passes by picking Kwon plus 2.5 games against Zverev, which lost. So that puts him at minus four for the year, 0-4. Inter-accumulator picks didn't do much better there. My fourfold of Rublev, Auger-Aliassime, Baez and Correa did not come in. I think one lesson to be learnt there is I went with Baez and Correa, who both got to the final the week before, and it is quite common that players lose in the first round if they end up playing back-to-back weeks. So I think that is, you know, a word of caution going forward whenever you're betting on someone that's had a deep run the week before. Charlie's Acca also lost. Into the outrights, we did a bit better, though. My picks of...
Just going back a second, have I ever won an accumulator on this podcast? I'm beginning to wonder if I have.
I'm struggling to remember one. Maybe this week maybe the lack of prep will serve you well. I don't know. We'll see. See what you can conjure up. I'm looking forward to it. So outrights, I had Musetti, Paul, Auger-Aliassime and Tsitsipas, who all did not make the final. Charlie, however, had Medvedev to win Rotterdam, which he did in impressive fashion, looked really good all week. And at 10-3, that gives us 3.3 units of profit. Then Charlie also had an each way win as Cameron Norrie over in Buenos Aires made the final at 6-1. So that's a small each way win of one unit in total profit there. So overall for the week, not our best. It was minus 1.7 units in total.
Yeah, and that's your fault, Luke. So I'm holding my head high. I did pretty well. So.
Yeah. No, I'll hold up this week and say I'll let the side down, but you know.
Also, this is my first time looking at like the matches that are coming up. They all suck this week. What the hell? There is nothing that I want to watch in this list. Not one.
Yeah, particularly Marseille is a really weird field. It's a lot of people I don't really want to watch or bet on.
Yeah, like I'm just looking down the list and it's like so many like vintage clay quarters over at Rio, like the 500 over there. It is actually a good clay court event. It's the only part of the Golden Swing worth participating in, quite frankly. The rest of it is just either dead matches where you know 100% who's going to win and the odds aren't there, or just 50-50 coin flips between two slap bots by the looks of it. Like, Well, there's a couple of matches that I did want to just mention before we go through and talk about our picks this week. The first match of those is Alexander Zverev against Andy Murray, just looking down the list. Now, Andy Murray, this is a round two. He had one hell of a match against Lorenzo Sonego. I watched his match saves. I think it was a 28-shot rally for one of them, where he was just bullying backhand cross courts with Sonego. Like, the guy is coming into genuinely good form. Sonego is in good form as well, I think, personally. I think he's had a good 6 months. And that's a great win for Murray. Off the back of a really promising Australian Open, he comes in as underdog 13-10 here against Zverev. Genuinely, I'd probably be making Murray favourite, maybe like 1-2 here.
I agree with you there. I was surprised to see. I can't actually find the odds, but I saw them earlier. But yeah, I was surprised that
I've got them in front of me. It's 8-13 on Zverev and 13.
Yeah, I am surprised that that Murray is coming in as underdog there. As you say, really good win today against Sonego. From the, I only really saw the tiebreak, but it did look like Sonego was playing some good stuff, and he's, you know, very, very tough to beat when he is hitting his spots. And from kind of three left down, a double mini break in the tiebreak, it looked like with Sonego serving, it was done. But it's just, you know, his ability to just hang in the rallies was unbelievable. And I think, you know, if he can utilize that against Zverev, someone who's, you know, not confident at the moment. He did get a win last week, but then lost to Griekspoor, I think, in the next round. So, you know, he's nowhere near where he can be or where he wants to be yet. And Murray has did beat a few years ago in Cincinnati, maybe somewhere like that. So yeah, I actually think Murray will win here. I think good value for a single, or yeah, if you want to take a games handicap or something, I think 13-10.
Yeah, no, I'm just shocked. I'm also loving the fact that Andy Murray is coming back in the way he is. I mean, he's always been one of my favourite players as a British fan and all this sort of stuff. But like, just the game style he has, the work ethic he has, the mentality, how he still loves the sport. It's like watching when Feds was at the back end of his career. He didn't need to be there anymore, but he still was. And it's that side of things. It's just so refreshing watching him play. And when he's beating these really high quality younger players who are meant to be coming into the peak of their careers, and he's beating them in physical encounters with a metal hip, it's crazy. So I'm a huge fan, and that's one match that I'm hopefully, when is it? Tomorrow at 7 by the looks of things. I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to, 7 my time, I don't know what that counts for you, but I'm hoping that I'll be able to get up and watch that one. Other matches that kind of interest me, pretty much none actually, just looking down here. There's a couple over in Rio, but I'll discuss those because they're ones that I'm actually going to pick in my accumulators. Okay, so we'll probably go on and have a little look now at the accumulators that we're going to pick, and therefore our tips and passes as well. Quite frankly, I'll go first. I'm doing this kind of as we go. As I said, my prep for this was somewhat lacking. But I am going to take Andy Murray. Based on everything we've just said, I think he's great value there. I'd be making him favorite, and to see him not just underdog, but a reasonable underdog there, against somebody who's literally won like 2 or 3 matches in the last, well, since the French Open when he had his injury. I think Murray can really hurt Zverev with court craft, ability to prolong rallies, and probably get him on the physical side of things, which is something you would never think that you'd say about Andy Murray versus someone like Zverev. The only danger is Zverev's serve. If he still serves very well, then obviously Murray is going to have problems because Murray's serve is nowhere near the caliber of Zverev's. But I think that's value. So I'm going to take that as leg one in my accumulator. Leg two, and actually leg three as well. I've gone for two Rio picks. I actually think Rio is the value in this week. I've looked through the other two events and I don't see anything that I like. So I'm going to go with Cam Norrie at 2-5 to beat Juan Manuel Cerundolo. Really impressive week from Norrie last week, making the final, losing out in a reasonably comfortable final to Carlos Alvaraz, but there's no shame in that. Norrie has developed as a clay court player tremendously, and really his game, other than the flat backhand, should suit Clay. Moves very well, able to kind of use the drop shot, utilizes speed, court craft, so on and so forth. The fact that his lack of a serve doesn't hurt him quite so much on this surface, the extra 2 seconds he gets, it's all good for him. Now, Cerundolo is a out-and-out clay courter, but his form has been mixed. He had a good week last week, I believe, but he's not been picking up routine wins anymore. He won that 250 title even last year or the year before, I can't remember. But he doesn't have a serve, so he is going to get broken a lot by Norrie. He has these very loopy shots, and I just think this plays right into Cam Norrie's wheelhouse. Somebody who isn't going to hit through him, somebody who is happy to kind of stick in the rallies, just like Norrie is. And as long as Norrie can kind of find a way to get the ball onto his forehand and kind of manipulate the court a little bit more, I think the fact that Cerundolo does hang so far back is going to open up the court for Norrie to come in, use his volleys, drop shots. He's going to find ways to exploit Cerundolo. There is always the chance that it will become a bit of a junk fest, as I probably call it, where both of them kind of just don't look to attack and it can get pretty 50-50 at that point. But I think that's a much less likely outcome. And I think 2-5, therefore, is actually a great price on Cam Norrie there. My last pick is going to be Francisco Cerundolo, the other Cerundolo brother, to beat Carbajas Baena. Now, again, Carbajas Baena, out-and-out clay quarter, no real weapons, very, very efficient from the back of the court, stands very deep. Now, someone like Cerundolo, he is someone who can hit through you on this kind of surface. Even on a clay court, he can use that forehand and bully you. That extra kind of 2-3 seconds that he gets on each shot, that's huge for him. And this is where he kills people. I wouldn't be surprised if Cerundolo, I haven't looked at the draw, but if Fran Cerundolo does have a very good week here. He's been better these last 12 months than I think what a lot of people were expecting him to do, even on the hard courts. And I think this is a matchup that suits him very well. Two players who are going to lose their serve quite a lot because, again, neither of them have massive serve and we're playing on clay. But who is going to be the bully in this? It's going to be Cerundolo. So unless he hits himself out of the match, 4-9 is a good price. So that's going to be a treble here of Cam Norrie 2-5, Cerundolo Francisco at 4-9, and Andy Murray at 13-10. My tips to pass, therefore, is going to be a Andy Murray. I know it's 13-10. I don't really want to take the handicap on it. So I'm literally just going to say my tip to pass is just going to be Murray to win.
Do you have combined odds for that threefold?
Yeah. Yes, good point. And that is going to be 3.65-1. I also just realized that we never actually spoke about kind of what the kind of surfaces are doing at each event. I should just mention Rio de Janeiro is much more of a classic clay court. It plays sort of what I would define as slow, moderate pace. So it's not that kind of ridiculously stodgy clay, but it's your traditional clay. Much not quite like Roland Garros. It's probably a little bit faster, but around that kind of vibe. Doha traditionally, I think, has been a very fast-paced court, and Marseille is obviously on indoor hard, so you'd probably expect that to be quite fast as well. And having looked at a couple of the highlights from the Wawrinka match in round one, it did look like it was playing pretty quick.
Yeah, no, I watched quite a bit of that match as well. Wawrinka was going to be in this accumulator, but yeah, it did look like it was playing pretty quick. So yeah, quite a lot of overlap in our accumulators. I agree. I think the majority of the value, certainly in these early rounds, it looks to be in Rio. So I've also got Francisco Cerundolo to beat Carbajas Baena at 4-9. Cerundolo found a bit of form last week. A couple of wins against Hanfman and Munar. Carbajas Baena, on the other hand, is not in great form. He's just won one out of four matches in this Golden Swing so far. And that was against Ramos Vinales, who's himself has not been in good form. As you mentioned, Cerundolo, a very aggressive player, will be able to hit through Carbajas Baena even on these conditions. As you say, Rio does tend to be a bit quicker than kind of the ridiculously slow stuff you get in Argentina, which does make it a bit easier to hit through people. Yeah, massive forehand. I'm not sure what Carbajas Baena can do to counter that other than kind of, you know, just poke it back and hope that Cerundolo misses. And look at the head-to-head. They've played quite a few times and Cerundolo has dominated the head-to-head. And that's a lot of those matches are before Cerundolo's kind of improvement, as you mentioned, in the last 12 months. It's 4-0 to Francisco, all on clay, and he's only dropped one set. And yeah, I think he has a chance this week. My next pick, I've got Zapata Morales to beat Munar at 8-11. Bit of a risky pick, but Munar's had a terrible start to the year. He's lost 6 of his last 7 matches. His only win was against Guido Paya, who is coming back from a long-term injury. So he's not quite, you know, the player he was at the moment. Zapata Morales, on the other hand, is in good form. He made the semis last week, beating Pedro Martinez, beat Diego Schwartzman, who is out of form, and Cerundolo, I believe Francisco. I didn't actually write down which one, but I'm pretty sure it's Francisco, which is a good win. You've got a huge contrast in styles here, kind of almost the opposite ends of the spectrum. Zapata Morales is extremely aggressive, and Munar is probably one of the least aggressive in the top 100. And I just think Zapata Morales will be able to hit through Munar, even in these conditions. And yeah, when Munar's playing well, he can cause problems for Zapata Morales, but looking at the form, it's clear that he's not playing well at the moment, and he's just going to have to hope that Zapata Morales has an off day and sprays it, which is possible, but at 8-11, I am going to take the risk there. Third pick, I've got Cam Norrie to beat Juan Manuel Cerundolo, as you mentioned. Cerundolo had, I think he's won 2 challenges already this year on the clay, but Norrie's just a different caliber of player. Even on clay, he's a very accomplished player. Had a decent week last week. Dropped a couple of sets, which was maybe a bit unexpected. Put in an okay showing against Alcaraz. The worst Cerundolo doesn't really have the same weaponry as Francisco. He's not going to be able to hurt Norrie as much in the rallies. Norrie's obviously very consistent, moved very well, and he does have that weight of shot, which I think he's better at kind of finishing the points off than Juan Manuel is. So yeah, taking that at 2-5. My last match, I've got Jiří Hechka to beat Demi Juma. I've got that straight sets at 4-6. That's over in Doha. Lehechka has had a fantastic start to the year. Qualified for Auckland and really pushed Norrie in the main draw there. Then at the Aussie Open, he went on to beat Borna Coric, Ujah Aliassime, and then Cameron Norrie when he made the quarters. And on top of that, since then, he's managed to win both of his Davis Cup matches in straight sets away in Portugal. Against Borges and Sousa. So it looks like he's going to be one to watch this year, and he's got to be coming into this match with a hell of a lot of confidence. Juma, about 5-6 years ago, was a dangerous player. He picked up a couple of ATP titles, but at the moment, he's just not the same caliber of player as Lehechka at the moment. And I just see Lehechka getting an easy win there. I don't like set betting too often, but at 4-6, I think that's just about good enough for the risk. So there's a couple of risky picks in here, but I think the odds justify them. So to recap, I have Francisco Cerundolo to beat Carbajal Baena, 4-9. Zapata Morales to beat Munar at 8-11. Norrie to beat Juan Manuel Cerundolo at 2-5. And Lehechka to beat Juma in straight sets at 4-6. That fourfold comes in at 4.82 to 1. My tips pass, I've changed it a couple of times, but I'm going to take the Murray handicap against Vera, which is plus two. You can get plus 2.5 games at 4-5.
Yeah, on the whole, we have a lot of overlap there. Actually, I like most of that. The only one I'm a little bit dubious of is the Munar Zapata Morales. I agree, Zapata is actually looked really good these last 12, 18 months, that kind of territory. Munar, much less so, but he's always a danger on these kind of slower clay courts, and he's just such a grinder, such a big work ethic that I don't love going against him, but I don't hate the pick. Anyway, going on to outrights then. Now, I'm going to be pretty boring with these, to be honest with you, and I'm literally I'm looking at Doha, and I'm thinking that the week that Medvedev has just had winning in Rotterdam, I think that whatever he is, 2-1, 15-8, I actually don't mind that price there. I think that when he plays like that, he's not really going to get beaten. So I think that that's a pretty good price. So we'll take Medvedev there over in Doha. Marseille, we've got Sinner looking pretty good again. Finalist over in Rotterdam, losing out in 3 sets to Medvedev in the final. So we've got that, I reckon, 7-2-4 there, sorry, on Marseille. Sinner is probably a pretty good pick. And then it's interesting when we go over to Rio, because once again, you've got Cam Norrie looking in the bottom half of the draw, where there's really not that many other big names kind of lurking around. Other big seed is actually Francisco Cerundolo, who I don't think can hurt Norrie. And he comes in at 17-2, which is 8.5-1. Now, if you go each way on that, that's pretty good for him just to make the final and just beat a bunch of people you'd expect him to beat. So I think each way there on Cam Norrie is pretty good. And so just to recap that, I'm going to go Medvedev in Doha at 15-8. That's just an outright. I'm not going each way. Sinner, 7-4 in Marseille. Same thing again. I'm not going each way. And then Rio de Janeiro, I am going for Cam Norrie, 17-2, and I am going each way on that. And my wild card, sorry, which I literally hadn't thought about and I am now going to look at. Just looking down the lists here, names, blah, 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 blah. Marseille, I'm going to take Grigor Dimitrov 6-1. Really good week in Rotterdam last week. Basically, he ended up getting dispatched quite comfortably, I believe, in the end by, I think it was Medvedev. But he had pulled together some really good wins. He had an absolutely amazing match against Norrie. He then came through the next round. I believe he beat quite a big name. I'm going to have to look this up now, otherwise this is going to bug me.
Dimitrov beat Dimitrov.
Yeah, I know he beat Dimitrov. That was in that, like, there was that epic match point, but I can't remember who it was he beat after that. I'm just looking now. It was a big name, I know that. Oh, okay, it was before that. Okay, so he beat Karatsev. He beat Hurkacz was the big name that I remember him beating, which surprised me. Then he came through a very close one against Dimitrov, and then he got dispatched by Medvedev, basically. But I think that when he's playing that kind of tennis, he is a very dangerous sort of name. I don't really love it as a pick, but as a wild card, why not? Let's give it a chance. 6-1 for me.
Fair enough. I can't fault most of those. I don't really like the odds on Dimitrov. I'd hope for a bit better there. But the field in Marseille is pretty poor. They're playing well last week, so I think he does have a good chance of doing well. We don't actually have any overlap on these outright picks. I'll start in Marseille. I'm not convinced that Sinner will play in Marseille. He looked pretty shattered at the end of that final against Medvedev. He also won a title the week before in Montpellier, I think. So he's played quite a lot of tennis in the last 2 weeks. And I wonder with I assume he's playing either Bio Acapulco coming up and then Sunshine Double. Is that it? Yeah, Sunshine Double of Indian Wells and Miami. I wouldn't be surprised if he withdrew. So I'm going to go for one of the names in that half, which is Alex Dimitrov, who comes in at 15-2. I think that's pretty long odds. I don't fancy his chance against Sinner if he plays. I don't think that's a good matchup, but you never know. As Sinner has played a lot of tennis, it might get to him at one point, have an off day. You never know. And I back Dimitrov against pretty much everyone else in this half on indoor hard. Looked pretty good last week. Had a nice win against Rublev. Lost a close one to Dimitrov in the quarters. So yeah, I like the odds of 15-2 there. Now we will go over to Doha. Medvedev, obviously the favourite there, looked really impressive last week. I wouldn't be surprised if he withdrew either, although he hasn't yet. So I'm going to go for Felix Auger-Aliassime. I went for him last week. And this week he is 11-2. He comes in, he's in the same half as Medvedev, which is a bit of an issue, but I don't think that's unwinnable for him. Obviously, Medvedev's going to be very tough to beat if he puts in the same level as he did in Rotterdam. But Felix looked pretty convincing in his opening few rounds. Had a nice win against Sonego, which I watched in the opening round. And yeah, not bad odds there. So Ojeda Aliassime 11-2. For both of those picks, I'm going each way, by the way, on Dumoulin and Aliassime. And then Rio. I think the bottom half is definitely the one to target here. You have Alcaraz in the top half. You also have the likes of Musetti, Baez, and Schwartzman, if he is ever going to find some form, could be dangerous this week. So I think the bottom half's where to go. As I said, I wasn't blown away by Cam Norrie last week. I don't think he's completely unbeatable. So I'm going to go for Francisco Cerundolo, coming in at 16-1. For a player of his caliber, I think that's pretty long odds, to be honest, especially if you go each way. I think he's got a good chance. I think with this powerful game, I think he can take it to Norrie. It's just a question of whether he can sustain that level over best of three. And then for my wild card, I'm also going to go for someone in this half of the draw in Rio. And it's actually your Jack's first time title winner, Alex Molchat. He comes in at 40-1 at the time of recording. However, he did win his round one match earlier. So I expect his odds to drop a bit. I just think that's too long for a player of his quality, to be honest. Played some really impressive stuff last week on the clay, and I expect him to have another strong clay swing. He hasn't had a great year so far, which is maybe why the odds are where.
I'm just going to add in here as well. I don't think his odds are even going to drop that much. He was 1-12 looking at it against some guy I've never heard of called Fonseca in round one. So I can't imagine they'll drop much.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, they shouldn't drop too much, but it's still obviously one less match for him to win. He came through that match against Fonseca 11-3. He has Hugo Delian in the next round, which I would definitely make Molchan favourite for. And then, you know, he's in the quarterfinals. I don't think Norrie's unwinnable. He had a very, very good match against him last year in Lyon, I think it was, in the final. Real epic three-setter. He was playing really well that entire week. So I think he's one of the few other players in this half that can take it to Norrie if he plays his best. I thought he was quite underwhelming last week, actually, against team. But as a win under his belt this week, who knows? I'll just go through those again. So Marseille got Dimonor 15-2 each way. Doha, Ojeda Aliassime 11-2 each way. Rio de Janeiro, I've got Francisco Cerundolo at 16-1 each way. And my wild card is Alex Molchan 40-1 each way over in Rio.
Great. So, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think you're being a bit harsh on Norrie. He did make the final. Yeah, he had a couple of close ones, but I think it was his first, other than the Davis Cup, his first match on these kind of true clay courts. I also think clay is one of those like surfaces where you're going to drop sets to random people at random times because it's just so hard to hold your serve. And sometimes if you just get hit out for a set or something, it's tough. But he looked pretty comfortable for the most part, other than against Alcaraz, who was a class up on everyone in these. I think realistically, if we're saying who do we think is going to win Rio, it's got to be Alcaraz. I presume that's correct, right?
I would agree. Yes, I don't think he dropped a set last week. Looks like he's over his injury.
He did. I think he dropped one to Laszlo Gera in round one.
Yeah, you might be right, but you know that was his first match in a few months. That's not.
Yeah, no, for sure, and like. So you've got to look at the bottom half when you're looking at those. And I do think Norrie is to beat, but quite frankly, if you're going to scattergun this week, just go each way on two or three names in that half, you probably make some profit.
No, I agree. No, Norrie is definitely the favourite for that half, but that's kind of my approach. Like if he doesn't, who are the names that could beat him or could take advantage? I think the standouts for me were Cerundolo and Molchan.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And so that kind of rounds off this week. It's been a nice short and sharp one because, as I say, I didn't really do much prep before this. This was very much a spontaneous additional content week, let's call it that. So is there anything else that you wanted to add whilst we're here, Luke?
Not really. Just kind of adding to your comments earlier about Murray. It's nice to see him back. And interesting to see how he does. I think he's playing Dubai next week as well. After a kind of relatively quiet a couple of weeks on the tour, I think then the next few weeks will ramp up as we, you know, you've got Dubai and Acapulco, quite big events next week. You usually get good fields for those. And then after that, you've got Indian Wells and Miami, which are always good events to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really optimistic about Murray. I think playing at this level, he's got potentially a while left at the top of the game. He's looking really good. So fingers crossed his body holds up and he remains as motivated as he's ever been. Anyway, that does conclude this week then. So that is the podcast for the ATP events over in Doha, Marseille and Rio de Janeiro. So thank you for joining me, Luke.
Thank you, Charlie.
We'll get this published as soon as we can. I do have to nip off very shortly after this, but hopefully I'll get it done potentially. And we will be joining again next week for the next recap of this week, I suppose, and the events next week as well. So thanks once again. And if you haven't already, follow our Twitter at Something Up Clutch. We've been pretty crap with the articles lately, but I'm sure we'll get back on that at some point. That would be our website, www.servingupclutch.com. All the best this week punting, and we will be back next week.